Do you have to go to this, like, I don't know, police station or something and get an ID card? What do you have to do?
Oh, yes. Oh, God, this process. Oh, good Lord. You go and you get hired at the brothel, first of all. Then they'll take you to their local office, which in this case was in Elko, 50 miles away, to apply for a Nevada state business license that requires all sorts of your personal information with your stage name that you plan on working under and the establishment that you're going to work for. So you fill out this single-page form that's a little confusing, but it wants a hell of a lot of information about you. That costs $100, and it's filed with the state, and it's good for 1 year, and basically you can use that to pay your taxes with. Then you get your medical testing. They tested me for AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia, and the blood work and the cervical culture was, about $90 total, which really isn't bad for that testing. You know, it really is not expensive for that sort of testing. But they obviously, you know, they didn't test for, like, hepatitis or herpes. So it was, you know, they just tested for those four particular diseases. Then after your tests come back clean, it's a 24-hour turnaround if you get there, you know, before a certain time. The state medical office where the tests, you know, where your specimens are sent to, fax a medical clearance form back to the brothel. You take your medical clearance form and you go to your local sheriff's office in the town where the brothel is located, and they have you fill out another form with all sorts of personal information. They take your fingerprints, all five fingers on each hand, and then they issue you a little yellow card with your picture and your one fingerprint on it. You're registered there as a prostitute, and the name of the brothel you're working at is typed on that little card. This is $75, and then you take that little card back to the brothel, and the brothel files it away in a special lockbox, and that's where it stays. It's permanently on file with that brothel. The sheriff can come in at any time and go through the lockbox to verify that, you know, everyone there is registered, but you never get back that little card with your picture on it.
And you can't work at another brothel?
If you want to work at another brothel, even if it's across the street, you have to go to the sheriff's office and, again, register that you're working at that brothel and get a little yellow card for that brothel. But you don't have to go through the medical test and all that again. Although you have to get your cervical test once a week.
Those are like
$40, $45, yeah.
Once a week. Wow. And does the physician come to the brothel, or you have to go to the doctor?
In this case, I went to the doctor, but I do know that there are doctors that do call on the brothels and make a weekly house call. I guess it depends on what brothel you're working at.
Okay. I want to ask you about the actual job interview in just a minute, but I'm going to check in with our listeners here and just remind them this is a live show, and we welcome your questions. You get to ask a real live escort about working in a legal brothel in Nevada. This is not something you get to do every day, so feel free to call in. Toll-free in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, you can call 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Call in and ask Amanda what it's like to do prostitution legally in the United States of America. Okay, Amanda, what was the job interview like for being a prostitute, for God's sake? What is that about?
Well, in this case, I didn't really have to do much of an interview because I met the owner at the Desiree Alliance Conference. So she extended an invitation to me and to pretty much anyone there to come in, and we just had to tell the house manager, you know, I was at the conference, I heard her speak, I want to come and work. I don't know what it would be like if I were simply just a girl off the street that they didn't know, but online, most of the brothels that are online have a small application form, and they usually want you to send in a couple of photos, a full face photo and a full figure photo, as well as, you know, your information about your name, age, your experience, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Experience
Some of them ask.
What?
Yeah, I've seen
well,
that.
Well, I mean, what are you going to say? Yeah, I've been doing it illegally somewhere else? No.
I really don't know. I wouldn't recommend saying that because the brothel system has a real, they really have a problem with anyone who works outside the brothel system. They see everyone else, you know, as illegal workers, and they see them as huge problems and vectors of disease, which is unfortunate.
Okay, because nobody else can go to the doctor unless they send you.
None of the rest of us use condoms unless we're forced to, apparently.
Right, right, which, of course, is so ridiculous. It's not even worth addressing. But, okay, so if you didn't list, you know, working independently as an escort, what would you list as experience? Like, yes, I've given 50 blowjobs to my boyfriend? I mean,
I really don't know. I don't know what I would say, to be honest with you. I guess I would act really naive and just say something like, I've had sex before.
I don't know, mama. That's funny. Okay, so then they want your picture, they want to know what your experience is, you got to go through all this rigmarole with the doctors and the police. Is there, like, training?
There is. I received some training. Most of the training, at least in my one experience, you know, I haven't experienced everything, obviously, but in my one experience here at this brothel, the training was mostly about the house rules and how you interact with the customers, how you interact with the staff, and just the rules of this particular house. There was supposed to be like a dick check training, but it was kind of shortchanged with me. But, I mean, it's not like it was rocket science.
Oh, you could never say that in the same sentence. Your dick check training was shortchanged. Okay. Is that what they call it? Dick check training?
That's what I called it.
Oh, okay.
I was supposed to go through because, you know,
well, tell
the
listeners what tell the listeners what that was, because not everybody's going to know what a dick check is.
Okay, well, in this particular brothel, once you agree upon payment for service and amount of time for service, before you process the man's payment, you ask him to pull down his pants, and, of course, you shut your room door, you know, to give him privacy, and you inspect his genitals to make sure that they look normal. In this house, we took an alcohol-soaped baby wipe and wiped him down because we wanted to see if he flinched, because that would indicate open cuts or sores or something. And, of course, you visually inspected him. I would always turn on the light over my sink, so it was pretty bright, so I could, you know, get a very good view. You wore latex gloves while you did this, and then you just, you know, told him okay, and then you know, let him pull his pants back up, and you went and processed his payment. I know that other houses actually do a wash down with, you know, like soapy water and everything else.
Wow.
But that was kind of how we did it here.
Well, that's a procedure I could get on board for. I mean, I use latex gloves even for hand jobs, mm-hmm. so...
I really appreciated how, I mean, coming from the indie escort world where some guys are very argumentative about condom use, I really appreciated the fact that illegal brothels are so adamant about latex for everything. It made life a lot easier.
That is wonderful. But there were things that you didn't like about this brothel. So let's go in further into this and find out. You're hired... what's the first day of work like?
My first day of work, I got my medical clearance about, about 3:30 on a Friday afternoon. So they rushed me to the local sheriff's office to get registered. So I got back at the brothel like 4:30 or so. And I was supposed to follow two of the senior girls around that evening and just listen to how they did things, and that was my training. Obviously, I wasn't going to hang around in the room while they had sex with their clients, but everything before and after, I was supposed to follow them around and listen in, but there was a guy in the bar who saw me running around, and he really wanted to book with me. So they went ahead, and they're like, okay, you can start working. So I was like, okay. So I went ahead, and we agreed on a price and everything. And so that was kind of like my first plunge into working. So I really didn't get much training, unfortunately. I think some would have helped, like the art of negotiation, because it's always been a weak point of mine. But I did not do very badly that evening. I saw three or four clients and, did well money-wise, and I went to bed tired but pretty happy with that evening.
And what were the clients like? What kind of men come to brothels?
Well, in this particular case, because it's right off the intersection of two major highways, you know, an east-west highway and a north-south highway, we get a lot of travelers. The travelers tend to be more white-collar. We got a lot of truckers, and we got a lot of people who were just driving in from, like, Salt Lake or southern Idaho.
But they were all men, right?
Yes, there was one couple, I think only one couple that came in the whole time I was there, and I ended up actually seeing them. So
they did.
They were cute. Yeah,
a man and a woman, married couple, or?
I don't think that they were married, but they had been together for several years, and they had a child together.
Oh, wow. Was it
their really
honeymoon
cute.
Or their anniversary?
I just think they just wanted to give it a shot. They were both really shy, really quiet, and they were young. Oh, my God, they were both young. It made me feel like a pervert.
How young were they?
18 and 19.
Oh, my God, that's young.
Yes, they were young.
Wow, they were very adventuresome, too. I'm sure that's a shock to a lot of people who think that the only couples who would go see a prostitute would have to be old, jaded people.
No,
18 and 19, how long have they been married?
Together? They've been together 4 years, they told me.
4 years. And they had a child. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, was that one of those
sweet.
Days when you were wondering
really
how you were thinking how lucky it is that you get paid to do what you do?
Yeah, I thought it was, they were my last booking I had before I left, and they were just so sweet, and they were just really nice, and so it was definitely a nice little goodbye type of thing.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, the next day, what's it like at the brothel in the morning? Do you get up and have breakfast with the other girls, or...?
Not really, because A, I'm an early riser and they're not, and B, if I discovered what brothel life was really like, because I went to bed that Friday night, you had to stay on call Friday and Saturday till 3 a.m. Normally you stay on call until 1 a.m. And so Friday night was a late night, and I was awakened about 5:30 Saturday morning by the bartender. The bartender in this brothel is the booker as well and handles the interactions between the customers and us.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, there's a man here, and apparently he wanted to see a blonde. And I was like, oh, no, I don't feel like it. So she went and she woke up the other blonde in the house. And I was like, oh, well, I'm awake already. So I got ready to go on my morning run, and she came back. She's like, there's another man. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm here to make money, you know, I'll make money. So I changed my clothes and, you know, saw this guy. And then that turned into an endless stream of guys, you know, through this whole Saturday. It was just, I mean, it was,
wow.
I guess, you know, I was doing my job, but it was getting to the point where it was just trip up to the front, collect the guy, go back to my room, you know, negotiate, have sex, escort him back to the front, go back to my room, clean up, go back to the front, collect another guy. It was starting to not be so fun.
Boy, that sounds like
the
year I was trying to make the down payment on my house.
I didn't get breakfast until like almost noon that day.
Wow. Assembly line sex. And so very little conversation or connection going on with these guys, I'm assuming.
It depends on the guy and the amount of time he wants to spend with you. The guys who would book for a solid hour, it was very much like my escort clients. You know, lots of talking, not a lot of sex. The guys who are booking short increments of time, you know, 10, 20, 30 minutes, usually just all sex.
You can book 10 minutes?
At this particular brothel, yes.
Oh, my God.
Which was something... Yeah, I was not very happy about that.
What on earth can you do in 10 minutes?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
My dog
really
takes longer than 10 minutes. I mean, come on.
But it was $100, so that was the most popular option. And apparently this brothel has long established itself with that particular option. So it started wearing on my nerves after a while because men only wanted to spend $100, and it was like, I'm not going to play this game with you.
Okay, so seriously, though, for 10 minutes, is that a hand job, a blow job, sexual intercourse?
Hand job or blow job, but this house encouraged you to go ahead and have sex with them, even though you weren't required to for 10 minutes, because they believed they would want to continue the time and have more sex with you and pay for more time. I'm being myself here, and I just didn't feel like having sex with a man for what amounted to $50 in my pocket. I don't know what's going to happen in my world travels, because I know not every country runs on the same economic rate that the U.S. does.
Right.
But in this case, I am in the U.S., and I know the dollar value of the dollar, and I know what the market can bear.
Yeah.
Because I have been in that market, and I really wasn't willing to do that.
I can totally understand that. I would think, too, that, I mean, when you think about, I know when I was working with clients, it's 10 minutes, we'd barely be getting past the, you know, what kind of a day are you having? Create any kind of rapport in 10 minutes is beyond me.
You really can't do a great job of it. I mean, I did a handful of 10-minute blowjobs, but I felt like it really wasn't doing what I could do. I know what I'm perfectly capable of, and it was very limiting. It was like clipping your wings.
Yeah. It seems to me like the focus then would be just on body parts. And I mean, we certainly couldn't get into anything tantric or spiritual or emotionally gratifying.
Even all that sexually gratifying, because you can't build up to it. You can't, it's just, you know, as soon as you walk back in the room after doing his, processing his payment, you know, the clock's already ticking.
Right.
So, you know, he's not going to be into it for conversation or foreplay or anything else.
That seems so sad to me. When I was working with clients, I really took a great deal of pride about helping men to really connect with themselves on every level, so that their sexuality wasn't like this disembodied mechanical function, which unfortunately our culture has often taken sex into. Mm-hmm.
I'd never felt degraded by it. I mean,
uh-huh.
I'm not going to say that I didn't, because I guess I'm secure enough in my sexuality. But I did feel that it was, like I said, squashing my capabilities. I was not really getting to do everything that I knew I was capable of. And it was also just insulting. Price-wise, it was rather insulting, and it started becoming a real source of frustration and conflict for me, and, you know, conflict with the management of the brothel.
Yeah, and it's like, because you're used to making some pretty good money.
Yes, and I'm also used to having great clients who liked me for me. We get to know each other. We have a good time, and there's something in it for everyone kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a whole package, not just, oh, your hair's blonde.
yes.
What about that? I mean, you know, it's like you're just interchangeable blondes.
Yeah, just about. Yeah. Oh, but I mean, you know, when we're talking about men with a certain mentality, they, you know, if they want a Barbie doll type, then they pick that girl. If they want a different type, then they pick this girl. I mean, well, that is one thing that was unusual, or I don't know if it's unusual or not, but I liked about this brothel because there was a different, every girl was a different type. So nobody was really in direct competition with each other, or at least I didn't feel that we were.
Well, that was probably wise on the part of management. Well, you said men of a certain mentality. What mentality are we talking about?
The mentality of a man who just wants to come in there and get his dick sucked as cheaply as possible. And
yeah.
He's just going to pick the girl that he thinks looks like what he wants.
Boy, this sounds like guys who watch too much porn, don't you think?
Maybe, maybe not. I really don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say I was chosen all the time because obviously some guys like different types.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really don't know. But
well,
the guys,
no, I just meant the whole, you know, like approaching sex as if it's just the act of friction. I'm fascinated by that people
mm-hmm.
think that sex is nothing more than friction, and they miss all of the intellectual and spiritual components that really do create a sexual experience. This kind of blows my mind.
Sometimes with a couple of guys, I was able to build that within a short amount of time and just, you know, it's just a hot sex experience.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, most of the time it was very difficult to do anything worthwhile within a short period of time.
It sounds pretty mechanical to me, but of course I wasn't there.
Yeah, I was trying to keep away from mechanical, but at the same time it was just it was depersonalized. I wouldn't call it mechanical, but yeah, definitely depersonalized. Because they didn't get to know Amanda. They had no idea who Amanda was.
I would imagine you couldn't get to know them either.
No, not at all. I mean, several of them, they introduced themselves at the beginning, but then I'd forget their name. You know, several of them,
yeah.
I don't even know their name.
Just a blur. A blur. Assembly line sex. I'm going to announce this call-in lines again. Guys, if you're at all wishing that I'd ask Amanda something that I haven't asked her yet, call up and ask her yourself. If you're in the U.S., toll-free number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. So you started actually making some observations about work in a brothel that related to work in general. And this is what really fascinated me about your field research, if you will, here, is that you had made some comments about how working for this brothel reminded you of some of the jobs that you've had before you became an escort, where you were having to punch a clock or work for management of some kind of a company. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, it was because in my experiences, a lot of times the problem with management is that they've never done the job themselves. And so they'll come up with all sorts of ideas about the way things ought to be that really just screw up your working environment because they've never done the job, so they don't fully understand what it's like to be doing the work. And it's especially, I'm trying to think of the word, I don't want to say harmful, but it can be harmful when the job is such a personal thing as sex work. Because it's not just me having to carry around trays or file papers or something like that. It, you know, this is my body, period. And, you know, management not having done the job and instituting some of the policies that they did, it could lead to, in my opinion, some very harmful effects because they don't fully understand the what's and the whys and the hows and the effects.
Okay. Like, can you be more specific? Just one example of something specific?
Well, for instance, this one really stuck out of my memory. This was Sunday after I started working. I started working that Friday, and this was Sunday. And there was a couple of incidences on Sunday, one involving some young men who should have been kicked out. If they had been in a strip club, they would have been kicked out. But they were not kicked out, and that led me to feeling very, very unsafe in a brothel. And then that evening, there was an incident with the bartender being rather drunk. And, again, that left me feeling extremely unsafe because they're the only ones at night. There's only the bartender and the girls there. And the bartenders are one and only line of defense, essentially, against anything. And they're the ones who control the front door buzzer, you know, so they decide who comes in and who, you know, goes out and that type of thing. And to have them in an altered mind, it is a huge safety risk. I mean, I would not do that myself escorting. But management does not see it as a safety risk. They merely see it as an annoyance or, you know, a little loss of control. They don't understand, they don't seem to recognize the huge safety issues here.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, okay. But what about just the idea of feeling like you are kind of punching a clock or going through a monotonous, you know, routine?
Oh, yeah, that was, I know the passage you're referring to that I wrote. Yeah, that was, on some of these days, you know, the only men that came in there were the men who wanted sex for $100. And I resisted doing that because I could not do that because I knew that it would just be an endless parade of these men coming in wanting that, and it would just be, if I gave in once, it would be giving in again and again and again, and it would just be a wearing down of myself.
Okay.
I could not do that. But in this particular brothel, that was the bulk of the clientele. That was the bulk of the business for these $100 men. And it was something I could not do because I truly enjoy sex work and I want to continue to enjoy it. And it was turning into an experience that very quickly, you know, I was not going to enjoy.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a little bit then. So what you like about escorting, as opposed to what you didn't like about working in the brothel, aside from the amount of money, like, you know, these guys are only paying $100 for 10 minutes, and they want me to try to initiate sex with these guys, and I'm only getting 50% of this, which means you're getting $50.
Yes.
What else about the work in the brothel contrasted with working as an independent escort for you and said, hey, this is not at all what makes me happy about being a sex worker?
Issues of safety, which we've covered. I mean, all sorts of issues of safety.
Let's slow down for just a second, Amanda, because, you know, when people are trying to pass laws to either decriminalize or to legalize prostitution, one of the things that comes up is they absolutely believe that women are safer in a brothel than they are when they work by themselves. So can you address that?
Oh, no. You're far safer when everything is in your hands and under your control, because then you make all the decisions, you call all the shots, there is no second-guessing you, there is no undermining you, there is no relying on anyone unreliable for your safety. So working independently is a far safer situation. If you do it smart and you take control, then, yeah, it's so much safer. And that's one thing I missed at the brothel is I did not like not being in control of anything, because technically you can't even say no to the guy. If you don't like him, you can always set your price so high that he won't meet it. But that's your only option of really saying no to a guy. There was one issue that came up Monday evening with a guy who, when I did the dick check, he had spots on his dick. And I was like, no, we're done. And I took him back to the bar, and though they allowed me to pass on him, they immediately called another girl to go and take him. He had spots on him. He should have been kicked out the door, but they were like, no, we don't want money walking out the door.
Oh, wow.
So they're perfectly willing to compromise anybody's safety. And, you know, it undermines me completely. I don't truly have control over my situation.
Right, and then you end up looking kind of like a fuddy-duddy or whatever.
Probably, yeah, like a stuck-up uppity woman or something like that.
Right, we'll find you somebody who will take care of you if she won't.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did.
Wow.
Yeah, I hope to God that she didn't get anything, but, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what it was, but I know it wasn't normal, so that's enough for me. I'm not going to question it any farther.
Right.
But that's also what I learned as an independent. If I had come to this brothel, you know, completely fresh, I would simply be taught to do whatever it takes to get the money out of their hands and into the brothel owner's hands.
So safety, you actually feel safer when you're in control of who you're going to see and how you're going to see them and why and all that. And you're the one that's in control of who you're going to, you know, if somebody looks like they're sick, you can tell them you're sorry you can't work with them. What other things do you prefer about independent escorting over working in a legal brothel?
Well, for one thing, the fact that I can set my own schedule and I don't have my sleep interrupted because I can sleep at home in my own bed and I can run errands during the day if I need to, and I don't have to listen to a bell go off every time somebody comes in the front door. That would be for starters.
Yeah, I mean, you never did get to take your morning run, did you?
Not that Saturday morning, but most of the rest of the mornings I did get to take my morning run. And it was really the only time I got to be outdoors, so there was one day I think I missed it. But every other day I forced myself to get out of bed because I knew it was the only time I was going to get fresh air, and I would have gone insane without it.
But some brothels don't
even let you do that.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't at the Mustang Ranch when you're behind chicken wire. Barbed wire fence or whatever they call that. Well, what about, do they have a gym or in the house or some kind of workout facility?
They did have a workout room, and they were remodeling it while I was there. Apparently, they finished it just as I left, and it had a treadmill in there, so I probably would have been strongly encouraged to use the treadmill as opposed to going out for my morning run.
Okay.
I'm guessing that would have been the next step, and I'm glad that I missed that because I needed my time outside to remind myself that I wasn't within these few walls.
So what was so bad about being
indoors? You start losing your sense of self.
Huh?
I said you start losing your sense of self.
Now, okay, so that was the thing that you mentioned in your blog, was about losing your sense of self. And I was thinking that actually sounds like something that happens to lots of people who are working jobs, because really, I mean, don't you think mm-hmm. like an independent escort is more like a profession or a career, but when you are working at a brothel, it really sounds more like a job. And what do you
think?
It's
very much a job.
Well, what are the distinctions as you see them between a profession or a career and a job? How do you distinguish between those two?
For me, because my brothel experience in this instance was negative, it's not something I would have wanted to continue for any length of time. So, yeah, it would have been a job I was just passing through, and it was not somewhere that I wanted to stay and make a career out of. Independent escort work, it is a job because if you do it right, there's a lot of business aspects you have to attend to, but it can be a career because it can be so enjoyable, and it doesn't feel like it's, you know, work that doesn't feel like work, which is what everybody wants.
Okay, and why is it that an independent escort could feel like she's doing work that doesn't feel like work, but somebody working in a brothel could feel like it's just a job? What's the difference between the two, as far as you're concerned?
The brothel reminded me a lot of being in a strip club, which is you didn't have any control over who walked in the door. You had no control over that. You had no control or minimal control over your interactions with them, because at some point, if they're sitting at a table and you're a stripper trying to make money, you're going to have to interact with them. And the brothel, if they pick you out of the lineup or the bartender tells you you need to go mingle with that guy, you have to interact with them. Whereas an escort, if you don't like something in his phone call or his email, or if you don't like him when you meet him, you don't have to do any more interaction with him. You simply leave. So I guess it goes back to that control aspect.
So maybe, you know, it sounds to me like, I'm thinking about like some of the straight jobs I've had, like when I worked at a computer company and a telecommunications company. I had to just pretty much do whatever they told me to do because I was, you know, they were paying me. And it's not like you get to say, hey, I don't want to work with this particular company or I don't want to service that particular client. And most people know that that's the way it is when you have a job. However, maybe with the idea of working as a sex worker, like you said earlier, where it's your body, it's your personal body, when somebody just tells you that you have to go work with a particular client, that it feels more intrusive or abusive even than some other job. Do you think that's true?
That's an excellent point. I did not think of it that way, but yes, it is. Because while even though I was in the brothel for a short time, I started falling under, I don't want to call it a spell, but I started falling under the mentality that you were constantly exhorted to be a good team player. And being a good team player really meant giving up any idea of your own rights, your own personal rights, your own personality, your own wants and desires, and just making as much money as you can for the brothel. That's what being a good team player is. And as a very independent-minded person, I ran smack into that.
That didn't work for you, huh?
I'm a good team player when it comes to mutually supporting each other and building one another up to achieve a greater goal. I am not a good team player when it comes to removing me of my agency in order to make a buck off of me.
I guess
that's a good way to put it.
It's certainly everything you've described kind of makes my skin crawl. Sure, it doesn't make me feel like running off and signing up for a job in a legal brothel.
I'm hoping that this is an anomaly and that other brothels are a little, better run and better managed.
I was just going to say, what's next? Where are you going next, Amanda Brooks? Because I'm sure people are going to be wanting to follow your blog and find out.
I'm still debating trying another brothel here in the U.S. I'm debating that because, I'm still kind of recovering from this, actually. I've got a lot of turmoil over brothel issues right now, but I have considered Mustang, Sagebrush, or the Kit Kat Ranch maybe in the next couple of months. I've also considered going ahead and kick-starting my world travels by heading off to Europe in the next couple of months, too. So I really don't know what I'm going to do, but definitely going to do something.
Well, are people going to be able to keep track of you by a blog or...
Oh, yes, I'm going to be blogging. I'm going to be pre-public about this, which is going to be new for me because I am not an exhibitionist blogger and I'm not an exhibitionist in real life. So this type of blogging is definitely new for me.
But I think it's eminently fascinating, and I don't think it's been done, not that I'm aware of. I mean, I know the Bunny Ranch has their reality TV show. And then Showtime's got that United Kingdom show, The Secret Diary of a Call Girl, which is taken from Belle de Jour's blog.
Yeah.
I think the idea of traveling around and trying all these different types of sex work from country to country, I think this is unique. I haven't heard about anybody doing this before. So where can people get in contact with your blog so they can follow along?
Oh, TexasGoldenGirl.com.
Okay, you want to repeat that one more time? TexasGoldenGirl.com?
Yep.
Okay.
That's my personal blog, and that's where I will be chronicling my adventures as I have them. Don't expect something rapid fire because obviously I've got to do research and plane tickets and make arrangements and stuff. So these travels probably aren't going to be as, you know, bang, bang, bang as people might want.
Well, we know you don't like bang, bang, bang.
Well, some places, I imagine I will want to spend a couple of months in some places, and in other places I might only spend a few days. I fully expect a wide variety of experiences.
And you think there's going to be another book out of this one?
To be honest, no. I'm just doing this because I really do want to. Everybody says that, and it's like, no, actually, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do a freaking book about it.
Okay, well, I refer people to read the first book all the time. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about that first book?
My first book is The Internet Escorts Handbook, Book 1, The Foundation, and it's the basic mental, emotional, and physical considerations in escort work. And it covers a lot of the stuff that we talked about tonight, emotionally and safety-wise, that escorts have to face. And it's certainly different than the brothels because escorts, of course, have complete control over their situation if they so desire. And I certainly encourage escorts to exercise their right to control because I believe that's what makes you a happier, stronger person.
Well,
book two will be coming out soon.
And is it going to be a similar topic? What will book two be about?
It will be book two in the series, Advertising and Marketing, successfully creating and marketing your image online. So it's all about the advertising and marketing, but it still discusses issues of power, like with the issues of reviews. Power and control over your own life permeate every aspect of escort work, or at least that's the way I see it.
Okay.
And so, it is something that I discuss, even in something as frivolous as, you know, placing your ad online.
Yeah, I always think it's interesting how the second wave feminists who are so anti-sex and especially against pornography and prostitution are always saying, oh, prostitutes want control. And
yes, we do.
And I'm like, yes? And your point
we
is?
We should.
Your point is? What is this about? And when women give up control, they're being victims when they want control somehow or another. They're recovering from some kind of a disorder. It's just silly. But okay, so we're just about up on our time here. But let's tell people where they can find this wonderful book of yours.
Just go to escortmba.com.
Is that MBA?
MBA, like a master or business, you know.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Escort MBA, yes.
MBA.
Yeah.
Escort MBA?
.com.
Oh, wow. Wow, are you giving out certificates? No.
Oh, that's an idea, actually. That's a good idea.
Certificate of graduation. All right, Amanda. Well, whatever you do out there, darling, I hope you stay safe. Stay safe, because I know you're a perfectly capable woman, and you've got great intuition. I guess if you were just traveling to try the cuisines of other countries, I'd tell you to be safe.
I think food is scarier than sex.
Yeah, really. Watch out for the water, honey.
No kidding.
And I certainly hope you'll check back in with us in a month or two. Maybe we can even interview you from one of the foreign countries you're going to go visit. I think it'd be really fun.
Oh, that'd be great.
We could accept the continuing saga of Amanda Brooks.
Yes.
All right, babe. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me back on. Good night.
Bye.